Today's daf from Masechet Sotah is daf Lamed Hey, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, and we've gotten up to yesterday, V'ha'anashim asher alurimo amru lo nuchal. So, very strange pasuk. Here we just spoke about yesterday that Kolev and Yoshua were trying to explain to the people whatever it would be that we had to do, whether we had to crawl up to the Shamayim on ladders. What's the problem? Alona levi arashnota. Everything's going to be easy. They basically sounded like Alon sounds. Whenever there's something to do, that's it. Let's just go and do it. There's never a problem. And they said, no way it's going to work. Lo nuchala lota la'am ki chazaku mimenu. Now, what in the world does chazaku mimenu mean? Who is mimenu? Does it mean they're stronger than we are? I mean, that's pretty clear they're stronger than we are. No, because they just said we were grasshoppers, you know. They've already spent a half an hour discussing that problem. So what does the mimenu mean? Omer v'chanina bar papa davar gadol dibru meraglim bota sha'a. Ki chazaku mimenu. What they said is they're stronger. You think that means they're stronger than we are? Nah, it means al tikri mimenu ela mimenu. What does that mean? We'll speak about in a minute. But don't read that as mimenu. Read it as mimenu. And therefore, what they're referring to is they're stronger than he is. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kiva yachol ein ba'alabayit yachol otzi kelav misha. Even the balabayit, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's stuck in his kelim. I mean, he has these kananim there, sort of keeping things going, you know, just until Klal Yisrael comes. Now he's not going to be able to get rid of them. Now they're already in there. There's no way that he's going to get them out. Obviously, they don't honestly believe that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get them out again, the point is that now that we've made this determination, that the way that we're going to deal with Eretz Yisrael has to be entirely in terms of our own abilities at Derech HaTeva and coming up there and making decisions and military strategies and so on. So if that's the case, chazaku mimenu. Now the question is, what does this mean? Al tikri mimenu ela mimenu. I mean, what's that supposed to mean? So, I mean, Rashi says it doesn't make any difference because there's obviously a mistake. There's no difference between how you read it, whether you say mimenu or mimenu. What's interesting is that is not so pashut. It happens to be that there's a big machlokas between the I guess you call them the medaktikim, or the mesoras, between the Svarnim and the Ashkenazim. This goes all the way back, you know, to the time of the Rashba, the Ramban. The question is whether there really is a difference between, there's two words mimenu, right? There's the word mimenu, which is basically a speaking about us, so that's the plural, in first person, and then there's a mimenu, which is singular third person. That word means both, which there's an adorable, by the way, Balaturim, who points out that the word mimenu is comprised of the letters that are themselves mimenu, meaning that they're doubled. Mem is mem mem, nun is nun nun, and vav is vav vav. So therefore, mimenu is actually double mimenu. So it means both. One is mimenu, one is the other mimenu. Okay, but that's the beautiful remez of the Balaturim. But getting back to this issue, the question is there a difference? So if you're talking about first person, the plural, so then many hold, including the Rashba, could be the Ramban, because this is the Shailos HaTshuvos that supposedly were actually written by the Ramban, that we call the Ramban, the Rashba. And the Minchas Shai learns that this also, the Maharal explains it this way, in the Chiddush HaGadlus and the Gemara, that if you're talking about the Guf Rishon, and the Mimenu means from us, then basically you're leaving out a hey, because it's supposed to actually be Mimenhu. And therefore, you're leaving out a dogesh. You put the dogesh in instead of the hey. So it's Mimenhu. Mashenkin, we are talking about Rabin, there's no such missing dogesh. Now, Tosfos talks about that Beferish in Erech, and he says some people say that it's not true. There's nowhere in Kol HaTorah Kula that we find Mimenu written without that dagesh. So it really shouldn't make any nafkamina. Okay, but as I said, there's a big argument in terms of the actual halacha lamaisa. As I said, the Minhag HaShai has this distinction. So it makes a nafkamina in how you would read it. So kivayachol afilu ba'al habayit.
Rebbe, why isn't it Mimenu with a stress on him, and then it's the him with the capital H? Mimenu from that guy.
You mean you want to reverse it? You're saying?
Yeah, put the emphasis on the last.
Okay, Okay, I don't think this is the place to discuss the sheet of the Rashi and the Chashai, but this is how we learn. I understand what you're asking. Okay, so therefore, what they said was mamish. I mean, bepashtus, it's mamish kfira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be able to get us in there if he wanted to get us in there. And they said eretz ochelet yoshveahi. How they come to say such a thing? Dorash rova amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ani chashavti l'tova v'hem chashavu l'ra'a. I bedavka made it look like everybody was dying. Why? Because wherever the Meraglim showed up, some very important individual from the government would drop dead, and that way the population would be busy worrying about the hespedim and the funerals and so on. They wouldn't have time to start looking for, who are these guys and so on. Maybe they're just people that are wandering around to hear the hesped. And so it would take their minds off of the security issues. That's why I did that, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I didn't want people to ask, who are these guys? Or some say, it doesn't mean that a lot of people died. It means that Eov, that's according to Man Yomar, holds that Eov was Bismano Shomesh Rabbeinu, so that Eov had died. And because of that, the whole country was in mourning. They were giving over these hespedim all over the country. Itridu kulayama hespeda. Everybody was saying hespedim. But that was what I was doing, and they translated that, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ra'a. Oh, wherever we go, people are going to funerals. Wherever we go, people are saying, has paid him. And the Haim Chashavu Ra'a, that's where they come up with the idea of Eretz Ochelet Yoshveahi. As I mentioned to you once, we have no concept of such a thing, of people, especially like secular people, is what they're going to be. They're all going to go to Hespedim on Eov. Like, it sounds like it's imaginary, right? And I told you over, incredible, that when Humboldt's yard site came around, they had 100,000 people at the Hesped in Hamburg, and they had all over the world, tens of thousands of people went to celebrate his yard site. Can you imagine? Today they don't remember who he is unless they look at the maps, Humboldt Currents or things like that, But the derecherets that people used to have for Chochmah or for Gedula is beyond belief. It's mamish. We have totally forgotten that people used to be Mari Chochmah. It's unbelievable. Incredible.
We have Humboldt scholars in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
You get a Humboldt scholarship, you get a grant.
Yeah. It's all over Humboldt scholarships.
It continues.
It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, the world has changed so much that when you try to tell people what things were like, they can't be masid. Incredible. Gordon Lightfish died yesterday. I don't know how many of you know Gordon Lightfish. Gordon Lightfish was like... Lightfoot, sorry, thank you. So I don't know how many of you know him, but he was like a tremendous folk singer that represented Canada's whole ideas. Anyway, so he had given, right before he died, he gave like this last interview, right? So the guy, and he's been like sick. He had this facial paralysis for a long time. So the interviewer asks him, like, do you ever think back over all the things that you've done and so on and so forth? Like, he says, that's all that I do. For the past 20 years, this is his words, exact quote, I have been in a state of repentance. You hear? So first of all, the guy has a concept of tshuva, And he recognizes that tshuva is a state. It's not like, okay, you know, I've been thinking about things. But it's like, where did, I mean, these are pashut, simple people that don't have a mesira, that nirvayim. Absolutely nirvayim. So again, we read all of these terrible things about the Meraglim and so on. To us, like, it's almost second nature. Then they said, Meraglim, v'nehi be'enehem, so when they were telling them how it is that we were compared to them, it says, well, we consider ourselves to be nothing but grasshoppers. And that's the way that they were, or locusts, right? So the Mesharshia says, they're a bunch of phonies, these Meraglim. I mean, you can say that we considered ourselves to be like locusts. That's all very nice. But how did they know what these other people were thinking, right? How did they know? The Rashiva Zatzal, I'm sure you remember this, Barnea used to say that these two things were interdependent. Because we considered ourselves to be locusts, that's how they looked at us. And when a person feels that that's what he is, that's how he appears to others. Anyway, but so how did they know that this is what they were thinking? Must be they were lying. Says, well, it's not true. Because the truth is that they did know. Because Ke'avi Mavri Avele Tuti Arzi Havi Mavri. The Amoraim, they used to give the Su'dat Avara to Avelim. And that was done outdoors under these gigantic trees. And then when the Meraglim saw that these people are all coming out into the forest, so they climbed up the trees. Salku Yatve Bilani. They didn't want to be seen. And they hear these people saying to one another, it's the weirdest thing. We saw these bugs, and they're like little people that are like these ants sitting in the trees. So they realized that that's the way that they were perceived by them. So they were not just making it up. Vatisa kalayda vayitnut kalam vayivku. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, oto hayom erev tishaba avaya. So that day that they came back from the 40 days was Erev Tisha B'Av. And that night of Tisha B'Av was the night that they were crying. They want to cry because they like to cry. We'll give them something to cry about. So that because of this, it became the day of the Churban. And as Mamash, as David HaMelech points out, even, that was this was Yimasu Be'eretz Chemda, Lohem Inu Lidvorav, Lahapil Zaram Bagoyim, Lizrotam Ba'aratzot, Beferish. So because of that lack of Amunah, in the end, they were scattered all across the globe. It's directly, it's not just like a diak. Yeah. So after Yoshua and Kalev were trying to get them to, no, let's go, everything's good, everybody starts pelting them with stones. So that Kvod Hashem Nirah, sorry, I should say, Kvod Hashem Nirah Ba'ol Moed, Omer Reb Chiya Bar Abba, those things are connected. Lirgom Otam Ba'avanim Uchvod Hashem, meaning that they wanted to throw stones at HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocha. So Malamit Shenatlu Avanim Uzrakum Klapi Mala. Maybe they were throwing these stones at the Onan. Vayamutu Anashim Motzi Dibat Haaretz Ra'ah Ba Magefa. Now you know when you have a patach under the bait, it's as if it says Bi Ha Magefa. But Ha Magefa means the specific Magefa. But you didn't explain that there was a specific Magefa. So what's the meaning of Ba Magefa? It means, Omri Bishimim and Lakish, that it was very clear. It was mita mishuna. It was so strange, the way that they died, that it was obviously made specially for them. Omri Bichanina Bar Papa, Dorish Rapshila Ishkvar Tabarata, Melamech Nishtarvev Lashonam Venafal Al Tiburam, Vayutolaim Yotzot Milashonam Venichrasot Betiburam, Omibitiburam Venichrasot Bilashonam. Many different understandings. Some is very cute. Ben Ishchai talks about Eretz Yisrael is considered to be the navel of the world, right? It's the center. Okay, I don't know. But, I mean, the point is that they're so completely and totally degenerate, what the Lashon Hara had done to them, that those worms that were crawling out of their tongues, which is the mokra of their of the degeneration, is part of their entire essence, so that it's as if they grew out of maggots. No, it means they died of COVID. So that they basically ended up choking to death. They couldn't speak. In the end, they couldn't breathe. That's what happens when you speak Lashon Hara. The Kivan, that's getting here back to the story of, we were right in the middle. Remember, we were talking about the Yarden. And then we were talking about the Avonim of the Yarden. And then we realized how strong they had to be to lift up the Avonim. And then we said, wow, so just imagine how strong they had to be to lift up, how big the Paris were if you needed these strong guys to lift up the grapes of Eretz Yisrael. And then we got to the Meraglim. Why then? So on and so forth. Now we're going back, popping back up to the Yarden. And we're actually popping back up out of the Yarden. Because Kivan, She'Allah ha'acharon shebi Yisrael mina Yarden, said the Braisa, V'choz ramayim lemekoma, she'nemar, V'hi ka'alot ha'kohanim nosei Aron Brit Hashem mitoch ha'Yarden, nitku kapot raglei ha'kohanim al ha'charava, V'yashuvu me'a Yarden lemekoma. So what that means is that the Kohanim simply backed up one step. In other words, remember what happened is, the Kohanim had gone in. So it says the moment that they put their toesies into the water, it doesn't really say their toesies, it says the palms of their feet into the water started backing up. The moment that they took their feet out of the water and took a step back, the water now came and covered the entire area. But that does leave a bit of a problem. Because then the Kohanim and the Aron are left on one side of the Yarden, while everybody else is going across to the other side of the Yarden. So now what? This doesn't seem to be the right way to do things, no? Nimtza Aron v'nosav v'Kohanim mitzad echad, and the whole rest of the country was already over on the other side of the Yarden in Eretz Yisrael. How did they cross the Yarden? At that moment, nasa Aron et nosav v'avar. Then the Aron floated straight across the Yarden, carrying the people that were supposedly carrying the Aron. Shenemar vayika shetam kol ha'am la'avor, vayavor Aron Hashem v'Kohanim lifnei ha'am. Now, this is a bit misleading, because as Rashi points out, actually, the order of the psukim is not this way. The first pasuk is the vayika shetam kol ha'am la'avor. That's what it says. It's mashma that first the Aron and the Kohanim, they came back across the other side like everybody else, and they went to the front. Then it says that you should actually say, so Vayomer Hashem el Yoshua, Tzavet HaKohanim, Ve'alumina Yarden. So Rashi says, okay, so that's the point. Obviously, there are two layers to the structure over here. First of all, we're talking about overall what happened. That in the end, the Aron came. But it can't mean that this is written in the order of what had happened, because then the next pasuk that says, Tzavez Aaron, Tzavez HaKohanim, Nosei Aaron, and they should now step out of the Yarden. What do you mean step out of the Yarden? They're on the other side in front of the Am. So it doesn't make any sense that this whole piece that says, Vayhi Kasher, that's the moment that they touched the Yabasha, that it went back to the other side. So clearly, says Rashi, it's two different things. It's not in order. Valdavar said, now let us interrupt to point out another interesting issue that this is Nogea. Because now that we see that the whole public presence of the Aron was that the Aron carries those who are supposedly carrying it, so it was Aldavar said, Ne'enash Uza. This was the story of Peretz Be'uza, because what happened over there, there was David HaMelech carrying the Aron from Kiryat Yarim, and he's bringing it into Yerushalayim to be ready, into Ir David, to bring it to, eventually, into the Beis HaMikdash, but he had built this little place for it meanwhile. So as we said before, this was bringing it in the end. The Aron only came back into its place after Shlomo HaMelech, and that was El Mekomo, after Shlomo HaMelech had built the Dvir and the mechitza for the dvir, which the pasuk stresses. So there has to be a special mokum for the arm, which is, by the way, very interesting, because in the Hilchos, the Kovet HaTera, the din is that if you have a sefer Tera, you have to be miyached a mokum for it. And this is exactly the point over here. You cannot put a sefer Tera stam on a shelf. It has to have its own special place. So Uzzah, where it says over there, Vayavoa Goren Kidon, Vayishlach Uzzah at Yadola Chozet Aaron. So they come to this place on the way back, and Shomtu Abakar, and Uzzah thinks that it's going to fall. So he puts out his hand to give it support. Omarlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such an idiot, Uzzah. Nosav Nasat, Smolo Koshikein. You don't understand that the Orin carries itself. It doesn't need you, Mr. Uzzah, to take care of it. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Uzzah, vayakehu sham al hashal. What's the shal? So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue, Chad Omar al iske shalu. So shalu in the sense of it was a shogeg. He didn't chas v'shalom mean to do anything wrong. And nonetheless, this was his einish for not realizing that it was a chutzpah for him to touch the ori. Others learn on the contrary. The shalu is minding his own business. I'll go do your business, so we say, for using the bathroom. He was also trachav lefanav. Rashi says that it's a lotion of shalu, like ki yishal zeitecha, or b'shiliyata. In other words, things that come out of the body, that exuded from the body, are called lotion of shalu. So, but in any event, some learn that this doesn't chas v'shalom mean that he literally ad kedei kach with chutzpah of the aron to go to the bathroom in front of the aron, but it means that he relied on a mechitza when a mechitza is not enough between yourself and the aron. Or others learn even that it means that he was so terrified by seeing the aron about to fall that his bowels loosened, and that itself was bizoyan that he should have allowed himself to be that overwhelmed. Okay. Whatever the point is, Rabbi Yochanan makes it clear, you shouldn't think that this meant that Uzzah was Mevaza the Oren and lost his chelek in Olam Haba. Uzzah bala Olam Haba. Because it says over there that he died im Arona Elohim. What was that supposed to mean? Together with the Oren. It means just like the Oren is Kayam la'olam va'ed, and that this is what we learn out about the Mishkan Bichlal, that every piece of it is Omed la'ad olmei olamim, and it was hidden and protected. Af Uza ba la'olam haba. Vayichar leDavid al asher paratz Hashem peretz b'Uzzah. So David was devastated. The lashon of vayichar, as opposed to vayichar af, as the Mefarshim explained there, is that it's not anger; it's a way of talking about deep emotional being shattered. Is vayichar. So why do we use the word vayichar in this way? Omer, Rebbe Lazar, mishenishtanu panav kecharara. He was so broken that his face turned colors, like it was dark, like all the blood, and like he was half dead. So it looked like a chararas bread that you bake mamish on coal. So what you're saying, wherever it says vayichar, it means that his face turned colors. I thought vayichar usually means vayichar that he got angry. No, the one is vayichar af. Hatam k'tiv af, that's true, but it doesn't say af over here. And therefore, we understand the vayichar to be emotional pain. Dorash Rava, why did this happen to David HaMelech? Mipnei maneh enash David. It's a terrible thing. I mean, you imagine this sense of rejection. I mean, you think Sukkos, which is the time of the simcha, of the dancing around the Oren. If it rains, you're supposed to feel like a piece of dirt. Talking about Harora. Over here, David HaMelech is bringing the Oren HaBris into its place. Talk about a slap across the face. It's absolutely outrageous. It's horrifying. So how could such a thing have happened? Mipnei ma ne'anash David in this way, that all of the joy turned suddenly to, you think I'm interested in you're jumping around, you idiots? And we're like, what's going on? Mipnei shekara ledivrei Torah zimirot. Shenemar zimirot ayuli chukecha. Bevet Megurai. Since David HaMelech referred to Divrei Torah like songs, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David, Divrei Torah, Shekatuv Behem HaTa'if, Einecha Bo Ve'Einenu. You know what's written in Mishlei? That the moment you blink, you close your eyes for a minute on Divrei Torah, you forget everything, because to keep them in mind requires constant consciousness and awareness of the interrelationship. You set it aside for a minute, everything falls apart. And you're not in that state of remembrance. And you call that zmiras? Like some zmiras, honey buns. So I'm going to teach you how fast you forget. You know, there's something you can ask fifth graders. You know, how do you carry the Aron? And they will all tell you, you carry it on your shoulders. And that's the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was careful when he gave out those beautiful wagons. He didn't give any out to B'nai Kahat. L'B'nai Kahat lo natan. Why? Ki avodat ha-kodesh aleihem b'katif yisau. They were only carrying the Aron and the Menorah and all those things that needed to be carried, be covered on their own shoulders. And you will see how stupid you are that you forget something that a fifth grader knows. And you, Atia Be'agalta, and you, David HaMelech, you bring the Aron. And that is why this happened to you. So because of, now, Lamaisa, remember that the last thing that happened to the Aron is that it had been captured, and that was the whole thing that was brought back all of these years later, Limakomo in the end of the days of Shlomo. It was captured by the Plishtim, and it came back in a wagon. And it came back b'derech neis in a wagon. That these parim, where they just walked and were singing the whole way, as the Gemara says, and they bring the Aron back. So now it looks like that there's a ritzui of the, specifically of the Aron itself, that this is the way in which I'm coming back. So Lamaisa, what happened is that when the Aron returned on its own, it came to Beit Shemesh, and the people in Beit Shemesh were destroyed because of the Aron. It says, Vayach b'anshei Beit Shemesh ki ra'u ba'aron. So since they looked at the Aron, I understand. So what are you supposed to do? Have to turn your face away? You're not allowed to see the Aron? And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes out half the city. So Rabbi Avuv, Rabbi Elazar, Chad Amar Ra'u means Kotzrin u'mishtachavim hayu. Meaning, they looked at it like, you know, okay, wow, all right, we'll bow down to the Aron, but I mean, I'm not going to hang up on my phone call while I'm bowing down to the Aron. So I bow down to the Aron anyway. Jill, what were you saying? Okay, so if that's the case, they continue to do their work while they bow down to the Aron. That's like an incredible chutzpah. For Chadomar, others say that no, they actually said something. It was a chutzpah. Because when the Aron came back, I mean, remember what an incredible blow this had been to Klal Yisrael, the loss of Mishkan Shiloh, the death of Aron, of Eli, the loss of the Aron HaBris. It was like, and all of a sudden, like nothing happened, comes in this self-propelled machine and brings the Aron back home. Beep, beep. So the people in Beit Shemesh says, you know, nobody knows what to do with you, basically. We don't know what got you so angry that you couldn't stop the stupid plishtim, and you had to do such a drastic drama. I mean, you're a drama queen. So what is it got you so upset in the first place? And what is it that all of a sudden now you've changed your mind, and now you're going to put on the big show and come back home? Well, that was a bit chutzpahdik. So man, Amri Yachdi Imrayat, who got you so angry that you had to put on this show? Uman Ata Lachdi Afayas. And who was it that spoke to you and got you cooled down and so on? You know, you're a real prima donna. Not exactly the way to speak to the Aron HaBris. Vayach ba'am shivim ish, chamishim elef ish. Now, obviously, that's not 50,070, right? Because that's not how you count. It's either chamishim elef ishivim or the other way. But over here, it says two separate things. Ish, ish. 70 people, 50,000 people. What does that mean? Rabbi Abo, Rabbi Elazar, argue. Chadamar shivim ishayu. 70 people in Beit Shemesh died because of this chutzpah to the Aron. And each one of them was shaku kechamishim elef in terms of their chashivut. And others say, no, 50,000 people died. Each one of them was gadol, like the shivim of Sanhedrin. Okay, anyway, getting back to David HaMelech and bringing up the Orayim to Yerushalayim. So we know that afterwards, David HaMelech learned the nature of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, understood what had been done wrong, treated the Aliyah completely differently. It's beautiful, Diyukim in the Malbim, if you have time to take a look at the differences between the first Aliyah with Uzzah, how everything was done wrong, not just the Egla, the wrong Korbanas, the wrong type of dancing, everything was wrong. And it was all whoever was playing their folk songs were playing. It's like an entirely different Aliyah. David HaMelech works on this until he finally understands everything that went wrong. And then he now comes back after there were such brachas that were brought to because of the Orayim. So because of that, he learned that it's time to be able to bring back the Orayim. Okay, now, the problem is that the story appears in two places. It appears in Melachim, and it also appears in Divrei Hayamim. And there's serious differences in the story between Melachim and Divrei Hayamim. So how do we understand those differences? So in Melachim it says, Vayiki tzadu nosei Aron Hashem shishat tzadim, vayizbach shomri. So every six steps, David HaMelech would bring korbanos, because they wanted to show that they're makir teva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Uzzah had barely walked six steps, and that's when he died, when he was killed. So he wanted to basically bring korbanos to show we're grateful that we were allowed to walk these six steps and that you're approving of our halicha. So he brought korbanos every six steps. And then he brought shor umari. But the thing is that the same story in Divrei Hayamim says that he brought shiv'a parim v'shiv'a elim. So how did that, there it says, vayi ma'azora Elohim et ha-leviyim. It talks out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu with siyata d'shmaya, he saved the leviyim. So it doesn't say exactly what it was, but ma'azora Elohim et ha-leviyim v'yizbechu shiv'a parim v'shiv'a elim seems to be the precise part that in Melachim is the six steps. Pretty big stira. Omer of Papa Bashmol, it means al kol psia upsia. It was shor umari, which is a different thing, right? Because shor umari is not shiva parim v'shiva elim. So shor umari is like a fattened bull. So for each psia, it was a shor umari. And then when they managed the whole set of six psiot, it was shiva parim v'shiva elim. I mean, let's be reasonable. You honestly believe that the entire distance, I mean, like, you covered all of that land with mizbechot, basically, with bamot. I mean, it's just, it's weird. It doesn't make sense. Ela Amar Rav Chista. It means, I'll call sheish v'sheish psiot, shomri, like it says, every six steps. And then there was also a set of six steps. So al kol shisha sedarim shel sheis psiot, shiva parim v'shiva elim. Okay, anyway, there's another stira. Because in Divrei Hayamim it says that the place where they came to was the Goren Kidon when the Maase of Uzzah happened. And the same pasuk in Shmuel says they came to the Goren of Nachon. Now what was it? Nachon or Kidon? Om Rav Yochanan, well, initially when the Orayim came there and killed Uzzah, it was like a kidon, because a kidon is like a lance, a spear. And the Basof, in the end, when it turned out that over the 6 months that the Oren was in base Oved Edom Agiti, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mevorech, his bias, and all of his children and his grandchildren, they all had had all of these children, Derech Neis, and all in one time. So David HaMelech saw that it was a tremendous bracha. So then he realized that this was nochein. Nochein means to be mechin, to be mevi a bias nochein. So they called it the Goren Nochein because it showed itself to be the mocker of bracha. Because of that, David HaMelech realized it was time to continue to go to Yerushalayim. Okay, this concludes the discussion of the Orayim. which we talked about only because we had gotten up to the Yarden, which we talked about only because we were talking about the Avonim and the Brochus V'Klolos, which appear in the Mishnah and tell us how it is that we wrote them. And that was all to be done on these Avonim. But that brings us back to the discussion of the Avonim. Because now it turns out that if you analyze the number of places that there were Avonim, there were three separate Avonim. And we haven't bothered mentioning one because we've been talking about Eivor HaYarden and the Brochus V'Klolos. But there was a previous set of Avonim that was during the time of Moshe. And that was, we'll see where we learned that from, and one set of the Yud Beis Avonim, Moshe Rabbeinu himself had put up in Eretz Moav, all the way on the other side. Shinemar be'ever hayarden be'eretz Moav, ho'il Moshe be'er et ha-Torah hazot ba'er heitev. And then on our Grizim and our Eval, it says, v'chataftah alavanim et kol divrei ha-Torah hazot ba'er heitev. So we have a gzeres shava of atya ba'er, actually one is be'er heitev, one is ba'er heitev. So we learn ba'er, ba'er, which is that there must have been Avonim there too, even though it doesn't say Beferish Avonim there. Then there was the other set that we talked about, that Yehoshua was making Betoch HaYarden, and that it says, V'shtem Esrei Avonim, Hekim Yehoshua Betoch HaYarden, that was right where the Kohanim had been standing at the edge. Ve'echad Shehekim BeGilgal, Shinemar V'shtem Esrei Avonim Ha'ele, Asher Lakchu Min HaYarden, then in the end, Hekim Yehoshua BeGilgal. So that means we had three sets of Avonim, all relating to Be'ar Hetev. Tanur Rabbanan. Ketzad Katfu Yisrael et HaTorah. So exactly how was the Torah written on these Avonim, which became the Mizbeach? I mean, is you're writing on the Avonim, were you writing directly on the stone or what? Because, I mean, there's a stira in the Psukim, actually, about what exactly was done first, because it says Va'yaba Yom Asher Tavru Ot HaYarden, Asher Hashem Elokecha, etc., etc. Va'akimota Lecha Avanim Gedolot V'Sata Otam B'Sid. Mashma that the initial hakama was covered with seed, and then the next pasuk says V'Chatavta Aleihem Et Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazot, which is mashma that you first cover with seed, and then you write it. But then it says, "V'hayab overchem et hayarden, takimu et avanim ha'ele, etc., etc." V'sata otam besid. I thought we did that before. So it says v'sata otam besid that it says afterwards. And that's worse because it says then to first build the mizbeach, uvanita shem mizbeach Hashem, and then v'chatafta al avanim et kol divrei HaTorah hazot be'aretev. So what exactly happens? We have a big machlokas in the Braita. Rabbi Yehuda says, it says, Beferish, that you should write on the Avanim. Hekimu et Avanim, v'chatavta al ha'avanim. It doesn't say v'chatavta al ha'sid. It says v'chatavta al ha'avanim. So that's the bottom line. The seed, therefore, must have been put on afterwards. So first, v'chatavta al ha'avanim, et kol divrei HaTorah hazot, and afterwards, sadu otam basid, even though you would think that the point of being sad basid was to make the smooth surface that you could easily write on, correct? That's what you'd think. And you'd certainly think that it was a little ridiculous after you write the Divrei Torah to then cover over your writing with sid. Why would you want to cover over your writing if the point was that this was supposed to be the original Shivim Lashonos to teach Torah to kol ha'olam kulay in all the languages? Where's Barnea when we need him here? So how many languages have archaeologists found on a single stone, Barnea? 70?
Three.
How do you like that?
In a number of places.
Oh, in a number of places?
Yeah, the Behistun inscription, the Rosetta Stone, there's a few places where there's a couple of,
I thought the Rosetta Stone had the maximum. You sure you're giving us the real story here?
I'll check.
Okay.
But three languages.
But anyway, this was supposed to be the Meda Rosetta Stone, right? So can you imagine taking the Rosetta Stone and then painting it?
Yeah, in the Behistun inscription had Old Persian, Elamite, and Babylonian. The key thing about the Rosetta Stone is that it was the hieroglyphics into Greek and Demotic, so they were able to use the Greek for the hieroglyphics. But three, and many, many items in Persia, this was part of what struck me from the Persia exhibition in the British Museum, standard, the Persian emperor's, a bowl, three languages on the bowl.
Wow.
So Imam sends the Megillah of everybody translating, and we're going to communicate so you can understand.
It's almost as bad as the Israeli road signs. Oof. You think bowls were something.
No, they're Greek to us.
Okay, so why in the world would you paint over the made of Rosetta Stone, right? Amar Rabbi Shimon, what are you saying? If they painted it over, I thought the whole idea was that we're going to be showing the world the Torah. And that way, as Rashi explains, the Ummahs will not be able to say, well, what were we supposed to do? I mean, we had no way of learning Torah. You never gave it to us. So that's why we degenerated. So, Lidvorecha, how was this a solution to that? Omar Lo said, Reb Yudah bina Yitera, Natan Bema Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vishigru Notarion Shalahem, Vilkipuet Asid, Vizihua. So they sent notary publics who would be able to take copies of what it said after they peeled off the seed. So every nation sent their notarion and they brought copies. So that way everybody would be able to read it. But Enochinam, you got to work for what you're learning, you know? So they peeled it off and then they recovered it. Some learned that the din of recovering is Nogeya da Halacha Lamaisa that we paskin, that you should not leave a sefer open. So what would that have the words exposed on this Avonim? So they covered it. That's how they covered it. They covered it with Sid. How else can you cover it that's going to be protective, right? So, okay, then any time that somebody would need to read it, he would need to carefully remove the Sid, read it, and then recover it with Sid. So it's interesting. Issues here that appear actually in the Halacha Lagabi Sefer Torah. Valdoverze, and not only that, said Reb Yudah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them that Bina, and they had every opportunity to do it. Stop saying that it was a problem. It's not a problem when God enlightens you, okay? And it was because of that, Nitchatem Gzar Dinam Leber Shachat. It's because of this that all of the Goyim end up basically going to hell. They had every possibility to learn Torah, and they didn't. There's another Shiloh over here. This, by the way, this Gemara, you wouldn't believe it, is brought halacha lemaisa in so many different sugyas. Listen to this. What do you do in a shul where they've done these beautiful decorations on the wall, including Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid, and they wrote out the Shem Hashem? Now, if you paint the wall, is that called erasing the Shem Hashem? Is it mutter to paint the wall? Very fascinating question. So some bring a raya from here. Look, it says over here that they put the seed over Kol HaTorah Kula, meaning that they covered all of the Shemites. And they covered the Torah. You're not allowed to erase the Torah either. So how in the world were they allowed to do that? It must be that it is mutter to actually cover it up, and that's not considered to be something that is a mechikas Hashem. Interesting,
right?
Huh?
You can break off if you paint over it.
Exactly. So many taina, it's no raya at all, because basically, specifically the line was made in such a way that you just hit it, it breaks off, and then you can recover it. It's not the same thing as painting. How are you going to get the paint off? Halacha lemaisa, most of the poskim say that you should cover over the shame with like wallpaper or piece of cloth and then paint over that. And that way you're not painting over directly the shame. Anyway, Rabbi Shimon says, no. They wrote the Sefer, the 70 Sforim, Al Gabe Sid Kitavu, was on top of the Sid. And underneath, after every language, they sent a message that wrote, Laman asher lo yelamdu etchem la'asot kechol toevot aguyim, and so on. So this was written specifically that the words that probably they also wrote ki acharim tacharimem, or so that they would realize where it went to, that this was only because Klal Yisrael shouldn't learn from your maisi. Why did they do that? My time in the Rebbe Shimon. So why was that? Because halamaleta sheim hayuchozrim betshuva yumekablimota. They wanted to make it clear, we're not writing this to you so that you should theoretically know Divrei Torah. We want even the Shiva Amamim that are not living in Eretz Yisrael to know that if they do teshuva, like Gordon Lightfoot, that then that then they will also be acceptable. And we don't have a mitzvah to wipe you out. Because the only mitzvah to wipe you out is if you're in Eretz Yisrael. So that's part of the, we don't believe you that you did tshuva, because that's out of fear. So we don't accept gerim, and even a ger tzedek or a ger toshav under those circumstances. But if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, and you come to read the Divrei Torah, and to be chayzer and mekabel the shiva mitzvahs b'nei nayach, then we'll be mekabel you. Omar Rava Bar Shila, my taima the Rebbe Shimon, why does he say that it was written bedavka on top? Tichtiva yu amim misrafot sid. It says that the amim will be burned by sid, meaning al iske sid, since it was so open to them on top of the sid, it was written. That's why they'll be wiped out, because they didn't take it seriously. And Rabbi Yehuda, how does he explain it if he says the sid was on top? No, it's to make a hekesh. Ma sid en lo takana l'sreifa. There's no way that you can actually make lime without putting it through heat. You got to burn it. So afotam akutim en lo takana l'sreifa. All of those nations who didn't want to be mekabel shev mitzvah b'nei nayach, the only thing that you can do is burn them, which is Gehenna. Come on, Ozlo haDetanya. What about the Braita that says that in the parsha of the Yefas Teyar, so it says, ki teitse lemilchama loivecha, vishavita shivyo. And vishavita shivyo includes even Kenanim, as long as they're living in Chutz La'aretz. So in other words, if you end up, because it says, ki teitse, if you go out of Eretz Yisrael, then you can even capture the Shevi of Kenanim. And there's no din that lo techayeko neshama outside of Klal Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though they're from the Amim on which it said lo techayeko neshama. And that's because im chozrim b'tshuva mekablim otam, that if they are living outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then you can take even a yefastor from the Kenanim, or you can keep an evet from the Kenanim. So who's that going like? Come on, obviously, it's going on Leva de Rabbi Shimon. And he says the entire point of writing at the bottom was to teach these goyim, don't think that we're mitzuva in acharem tachrimem on you. On the contrary, the only reason is because l'man asher yoyim adula sot ketoy vot agoyim. If you don't live with us, there's no problem. And if you're not doing toy vot, there's no problem. So if you do teshuva, the Torah is bedavka welcoming you to come and to join us in Avodas Shamayim.